Each weekday, a member of the community is invited to Coffee at KYUK to discuss news and information relevant to Bethel and the Kuskokwim Delta. Sometimes light, sometimes serious, Coffee at KYUK is where our community connects.
Hola, waka, chukma, all across the tundra, up and down the Cusco and out to the Yukon and the coast. Grady Deaton here, Coffee at KYUK, as usual, sharing my excitement with anyone who will listen. And on the phone with me now for a show, Joanna Urich.
Good morning, Grady.
Good morning.
At this time of year, it's silver salmon season, and the kings have swum by, and so have the wrens, otherwise known as sockeye, and many of the chums. It's time to look back and take stock. We have with us two biologists from the Alaska Department of Fish and Game who work in our region. Fred West, who tracks the Yukon River returns during the summer run, and Sean Larson, who keeps track of the Kuskokwim River. Welcome to you both.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Joanna.
Hope you have your coffee ready.
Oh, for sure.
Okay. Well, let's get started. I love talking fish. How were the runs this year on the two rivers? Can we start with the Kuskokwim first?
Sure. So the only species we forecast for on the Cusco is Chinook salmon. This year we had a forecast of between 193 and 261,000 fish. Based on what we've seen in season, that's looking at our Bethel test fishery and the sonar, it looks like the run will be, it's likely going to be smaller than that. But we really won't know where we stand for total run size until after the season ends, and we can, put all the test fish harvest and escapement information together into a model and look at our former run size estimate. So we don't have that quite yet. The model will also tell us how we did in terms of drainage-wide escapement, but in-season data, again, the Bethel test fish and sonar indicate we did meet the drainage-wide escapement goal, which is for a an escapement of between 65 and 120,000 king salmon. And as far as chum salmon, they came in well below average this year, as everyone knows, and about 5 days later than average. The sockeye run came in below average and about 7 days late. And just to add to that, the Chinook salmon escapement goals on the George and Kugluk rivers, River Weirs, were met. And the chum and sockeye escapement goals, despite being below average, they were met on the Kugluk River Weir as well.
Well, that river was kind of a bright spot on the sockeye front, wasn't it?
Yeah,
I mean the lake.
The sockeye return on the Kugluk was just fine this year. It was kind of right in the middle of the escapement goal.
But that was, they were stronger there than elsewhere, right?
Well, they're below average just about everywhere except the Tlaquena Lake. They had a wonderful year this year, which is kind of what we've been seeing since about 2016. We've just had really big escapements up there.
Any reason why?
That's a really good question. Lake spawning sockeye and river spawning sockeye, they have different life histories. They live in different areas. Something that pops into my mind is there just might be more favorable conditions in the lake versus the rivers for the sockeye. For example, lakes and rivers might be affected differently by, say, groundwater temperatures. A big one would be flooding and scouring, just to name a few. And, my assumption is maybe the conditions on the river might not have been as favorable as what the lake experienced.
What about the Yukon? It's a bigger river, very different.
So we generally project for the Canadian origin, and so that projection was 59,000 to 90,000, and based on that projection, we can kind of estimate what the drainage wide.
We are talking what?
Chinook,
talking
sorry. King? Yeah, for Chinook. And that, the drainage wide, was 144,000 to 220,000. And based on pilot station, we had 160,000 past the sonar. So we probably met the drainage wide goal, on the lower end, but we still have to include harvest and everything to get an idea of the total total run. And then for Canadian origin, we're still assessing that run at the sonar. But so far, the passage at this Eagle sonar is the lowest since 2013. And so it's we most likely won't meet the escapement goal on the, for the Canadian origin stock. And as far as for summer chum, we had a forecast of 1.7 to 2.1 million, and we ended up with the passage roughly of about just under 700,000. And similar to the Chinook, we still need to account for harvest and everything below the sonar, but that is the lowest passage since the early 2000s and 2001, and or 2000 and 2001 were lower passages. So it's the summer chum run is we met the escapement goal, the drainage wide escapement goal for summer chum, but overall it's a pretty low return.
Is there a treaty requirement on chum going to Canada?
For summer chum, there's not. They generally peer off on the Tanana, so they don't go as high as Canada. But there is the fall chum do have a treaty with Canada, and those are being assessed now at the sonar at pilot station, and they haven't reached the border yet.
So, yeah, I was looking at those numbers. They look pretty low too.
Yeah, and so the fall chum right now is, I think there's saying that it's the lowest the second lowest since 2000 as well. So they're projecting not to meet the drainage wide escapement goal either. Mm-hmm. But so they're also having a poor return.
You know, both of you, this year it seemed to me there was a kind of a recurrent theme as we were watching the rivers. The words that came up was, are they late or are they low? And this year it seemed like it was a bit of both.
Yeah, I mean, speaking for the Kuskokwim, it was, we don't know what's going on in Coho yet, but, you know, speaking for Chinook, Chum, and Sockeye, yeah, you're right. They all came in a bit late, and they all came in a bit below average. Chum, especially, well below average.
Yeah, I mean, I guess similar to the Yukon, it was, there were like, for Chinook, there were 2 to 3 days late, and I think the summer chum were, 4 days late. And, they both came in super, super weak. And for a while with the Chinook run, it was like just dragging on for a long time, and they finally, showed up. But it's been a strange year.
Mm-hmm. And what's interesting to me is that it isn't just limited to these two rivers. It seems like that's a repetitive pattern down in Prince William Sound and up north up into Kotzebue, and it seems like it goes way beyond these two river systems in our region.
Yeah, this year has been a struggle for fishermen, all across the state. Chinook and chum runs, especially across the state, were poor this year. Something interesting that's occurred in the AYK region, especially, is just this low return of age 4 chum salmon, which really typically make up a large component of the chum run. And this occurred in the Nome area, Norton Sound, the Yukon, which Fred can touch on, and early indicators are pointing to a poor return of age 4 chum on the Kuskokwim. So, for example, on the Kudruglup River, we see on average around 60% age 4 fish. This year it's looking like we're somewhere closer to 22%. So, the overall chum return in the whole AYK region was low, but also they were missing that, high proportion of age 4 fish compared to what we would expect to see.
So that means something happened in, 2016?
Yeah, so these fish are from, the age 4 fish are from the 2016 spawners, and they would have entered the ocean in 2017. So it's likely something's going on in the ocean or the nearshore waters that, you know, had a negative influence on the survival of these H4 fish, or in other terms, the fish that entered the ocean in 2017.
Well, in the chums, where do they go in the ocean?
Well, that's a good question. I think they will travel a pretty big distance out in the Bering Sea. But a lot of the mortality from these age classes, it really occurs, or at least the kind of running assumption is that it occurs early in their life. You know, they have mortality all throughout their life, but a lot of it really occurs when they, you know, are traveling to the ocean, basically from egg to getting to the ocean, and in those first few months out in the nearshore marine environment.
I guess one thing to follow up on that is that we do a northern Bering Sea trawl survey for juvenile abundance for different species and for snook, and they also have been, at least for the on the Yukon, they've been getting samples from the northern Bering Sea, and they're and the one thing they noted is that there was a low abundance of the, I guess, the bat age class that from 2017 from the 2016 parent year. So that gives us some indication of what we're seeing now with the low H4 return.
Are you able to factor that into the predictions, say, on the Yukon? I know we don't predict chums on the Kuskokwim.
There right now, it's I guess Sabrina Garcia. She's the kind of the marine biologist, and they're currently working on trying to come up similar to what we do for snook, with a juvenile relationship to adult return. They're trying to come up with a similar type of strategy for summer chum as well, but there's nothing. They haven't gotten it finalized yet, but that's something that might be something in the future they can do.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And what about the silvers? We're here into that season. Are we still going late or low here?
I guess for the Yukon, it's still early, but they do appear to be weak and later than normal, and so that's still early to tell, at least on the Yukon.
And for the Kuskokwim, the silvers they might be a bit late this year. You know, I would say the silver run's probably, you know, somewhere around 80% complete in the lower Kuskokwim. Mm-hmm. And whether it's late or normal run timing, it appears the silver run is going to be below average this year. But that's not to say it's going to be a terrible run. The CPUE for coho at the Bethel test fish is basically spot on with where we were this time last year.
Oh.
And, yeah, and people caught fish last year. The escapement goal at the Kugelbuck River was met for coho by a few thousand fish. It's too early right now to see where we're going to end up with that goal. They're just now starting to pick up silvers or in any numbers. But I don't think anyone's too concerned with the silver run at this point.
Wow. Well, that's good news. I mean, the other bright spot in this season that I saw was in Bristol Bay, because they were also like, where are the reds? You know, I mean, that the sockeye or harvest is a big deal down there, and they were late, but then they finally came in like gangbusters.
Yeah, Bristol Bay continues to be a real bright spot for Alaska. There's always that, you know, period of, you know, everybody sweating it out right up in, you know, to the beginning of July, wondering what's going to happen, but they seem to be doing just fine.
Yeah, no, that was the one bright spot. I mean, but then the life history of salmon really do differ a lot from species to species. And I just find it, you know, and also the river systems in the Bristol Bay, we have a lot of lakes in there playing a major role for reds, I'd suspect.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. So, yeah, I guess they may have, you know, lake spawners, and then they have tributary river spawners, and so yeah, different age classes or strengths or will come from either the lake spawners or the river spawners. So they have quite a number of different habitat choices. So it's an interesting system for sure.
Well, to me, what's interesting is that keeping track of these fish is really difficult because they aren't river fish and they're not ocean. They do both. They swim a lot. And the database is, a lot of it has been generated by the state Department of Fish and Game. I mean, that's, you guys do the counting. And have so for quite some time. And so are we beginning to see trends that might be associated with like ocean changes? I mean, people talk about global warming a lot and the blob and whatnot.
Well, there's no doubt that, what's going on in the marine environment and even the freshwater environment when it comes to, say the blob, for example, it influences these salmon, absolutely. And there's a lot of people and there's a lot of energy and there's a lot of money that is going into, what does it mean, I guess, for salmon? I think right now, people have some ideas, but there's a lot of research going into, what exactly does it mean for these salmon returns?
Well, we certainly had it visually put in front of our faces last summer with the extreme heat on the rivers and dead fish that weren't spawned.
Yeah, on the Yukon, it was on the Koyukuk River. There were some noted, pre-spawn die-off, and there's. So it's definitely a concern and something that we're watching out for.
And there's an effort right now by the USGS to, start diving into what heat stress means to salmon and en route mortality and pre-spawn mortality. And it really, last year was kind of kind of lit a fire under everybody that says, oh, we need to really pay attention to this. So I think going forward, water temperatures and what it means is it's going to be, it'll be a research topic for sure. We did luck out this year. We didn't have any, major high heat on the Kuskokwim anyway. And so I haven't heard many reports of dead fish floating around.
Well, Fred, I do have a question about the Yukon. It's a big river. Are you seeing some changes in species other than salmon or arrival of other increase in numbers of other species this year?
I guess there's anecdotal reports of maybe more sockeye showing up but it's real anecdotal, and there's 'cause normally the Yukon hasn't been a sockeye producer at all, and so there's some sockeye that are showing up. And then, we had an average size.
Each weekday, a member of the community is invited to coffee at KYUK to discuss news and information relevant to Bethel and the Kuskokwim Delta.
Sometimes light, sometimes serious, coffee at KYUK is where our community connects.
If you'd like to suggest a guest or arrange to be on with us yourself, contact us at coffee@kyuk.org or call 543-3131 today.